Former Greens leader Bob Brown has joined the anti-whaling group Sea Shepherd, becoming the director of the Australian arm. The move is a bid to try to ensure the safety of Sea Shepherd Captain Paul Watson, who is wanted in Japan over high water campaigns to stop whaling. He's also wanted in Costa Rica and Germany. Last year, he skipped bail in Germany as now a fugitive who is on the Interpol Global Wanted list. Watson plans to come to Australia after the whaling season, and if he does, it could prove to be legally problematic for the government. Paul Watson is also hoping to establish the group's international headquarters in Melbourne, and he joins us now on board the Steve Irwin. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Now, the Japanese got off to a late start this year. When are you expecting the whaling ships to arrive in the Southern Ocean?
They left the last few days of December, so they won't be down here until about January 21st, but we'll have four ships waiting for them when they arrive.
Now, this insistence, I think, on a United States court that you're not allowed to get within 450 metres of the whaling vessels, this would be something you'd be prepared to ignore?
No, we're not ignoring. It applies to the USA, but Sea Shepherd USA is not going to be involved in Operation Zero Tolerance. The U.S. courts have no authority over Australian Dutch registered vessels operating out of Australia, New Zealand, and international and Australian waters. It's as simple as that. So it's not going to affect anything. This is an Australian-led campaign.
Okay. Now, the international legal problems, will they attempt... I mean, is that going to be awkward when you set foot on Australian soil, Paul?
Well, this could be resolved somehow. First of all, I'm not wanted in Germany. It's not illegal to skip bail in Germany, so they don't want me there. Japan met with the Prime Minister of Japan met with the President of Nicaragua, of Costa Rica last December, and they shortly thereafter they revived this 10-year-old incident where I had intervened against some sharpeners at the request of the Guatemalan government, for which I received a commendation from the Guatemalan. Fisherman said that I had tried to kill them. But we went into court 10 years ago in Costa Rica. We showed the video. The whole thing was dismissed, and suddenly 10 years later, it's all revived. Now, Costa Rica say there's no way they can convict me, but into Costa Rica, they'll drop the charges, and then they'll ship me off to Japan. Now, Japan's charges are for trespassing. Nobody gets extradited for trespassing. You don't get wanted by Interpol for that, but it just shows you the kind of took $30 million from the tsunami relief fund in order to send an army of lawyers after us.
Paul, we're breaking up quite a bit, so we might have to move on, and we'll try to re-establish contact perhaps a little later on. But also on the line is Professor of International Law at the Australian National University, Donald Rothwell, who's been following this story. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, John.
Look, what is an Interpol red notice that has been served on Paul?
Really, it's an international alert for countries who are part of the Interpol system, of which Australia is one, to be on alert if an individual who's on that red list or red notice enters the country, and ultimately to notify the authorities of the country who has issued the red notice. So if Mr. Watson was to enter Australia at the end of the whaling season, Australia would be under an obligation to notify authorities in Japan and Costa Rica.
And what would the authorities in Japan and Costa Rica ask the Australian government to do with Mr. Watson?
Well, really, the ball would then be in their court. And if they are serious about seeking to prosecute Mr. Watson, the next step legally would be to issue an arrest warrant and to seek Mr. Watson's extradition to either of those countries to face whatever charges have been brought against him.
Right. So Australia does have legal obligations to enforce these red notices?
Well, it's an obligation in the sense of notifying the other countries. The legal obligation will really arise in the case of an extradition request. And certainly in the case of Japan, where Australia does have extradition arrangements, if Australia was to receive an extradition request from Japan, Australia would then be under an obligation to seek out and detain Mr. Watson, and an extradition process would then commence. Of course, that would involve the application of the Commonwealth Extradition Act, and there would be a variety of procedural and related legal issues that would then need to be followed before Mr. Watson would ever be subject to a final extradition from Australia to Japan.
Right. Now, are there any cases where Australia, recently, where red notices have been served and Australia has complied?
Yes, the most prominent one is that of Daniel Sneden, otherwise known as Captain Dragan, the alleged Croatian war criminal, who was arrested a number of years ago on the basis of a red notice and has fought his extradition through the Australian courts and has ultimately failed in being able to contest his extradition to Croatia. So that's a very prominent recent case.
Right. It's 8 minutes to eight here on RN Summer Breakfast, where we're joined by Donald Rothwell, the Professor of International Law at the Australian National University. Look, late last year, the Court of Appeals in the United States ordered the Sea Shepherd to stay at least 450 metres away from whaling vessels. I mentioned this to Paul a few minutes ago when we had him on the line. What are the implications if he doesn't abide by this ruling?
Well, potentially quite serious. First of all, those orders can't be actually enforced in the Southern Ocean, so there's no suggestion that the United States Navy, for example, or a US government agency would be able to enforce those orders in the Southern Ocean. But certainly, if Sea Shepherd, or Paul Watson in particular, was to ignore those orders, then they could be found in contempt of court in the United States, which could have quite serious financial ramifications for Sea Shepherd and could ultimately see Mr. Watson placed in jail in the United States if he was to return to the United States at any point in time, because being found in contempt of court can be quite a serious matter, especially in relation to an injunction such as this.
Would it affect the ability for the Sea Shepherd to raise money in the United States?
Well, yes, because as I understand it, even though Sea Shepherd, as Mr. Watson indicated, is seeking to relocate their international operations into Australia, they have traditionally been very successful in fundraising operations in the United States. And if Sea Shepherd US had this significant legal order placed over them, that could very much impair their operations to engage in annual fundraising. Sea Shepherd this year has four vessels operating in the Southern Ocean as part of their campaign. That's obviously a fairly expensive exercise. So, yes, that could have a detrimental impact upon their ability to engage in these ongoing campaigns.
The undoubted popularity of both the Sea Shepherd and Paul Watson wouldn't assist his and their cause in this matter?
No, not at all. The US courts would take a fairly dim view of their orders, and in this case an injunction, being completely ignored if that was to be the case. So popularity or otherwise of Sea Shepherd or Mr. Watson would be irrelevant for the court.
Paul, if you can hear us on the satellite phone, if you're still there, I was just going to ask you what the impact of having an ally like Bob Brown on board may help, how it may help the cause.
Well, Bob has actually been an expedition leader for Sea Shepherd, a long-time supporter on our advisory board, so I think we're project on as a director. But I should point out that as of January 1st, Sea Shepherd USA has complied with the Ninth Circuit Court, and we've withdrawn from Operation Zero Tolerance, no funding from the U.S. to Operation Zero Tolerance. This is exclusively an operation led by us, Sea Shepherd Australia.
Okay, I understand. Look, the line is still problematical, but Paul, thank you very much for taking our call this morning, and I'd also thank Donald Rothwell, the Professor of International Law at the Australian National University, for joining us as well, and it's a story we will continue to follow here, hopefully. It's just on 5 to 8 here on RN Summer Breakfast.